Hey, America.
Start Doris Mason now.
Perfect. Awesome.
Nailed it.
Hey, guess what, guys?
I know.
We got a host city. That means we jinxed it.
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah. What else can we jinx?
Who's the winner going to be?
Sweden.
Oh,
thank God. Yes. Sweden. Sweden wins. Sweden wins. Everyone say it.
And welcome to another prescient episode of 12 Points from America, Eurovision podcast from America, the country that comes to you on this, the day of my daughter's wedding. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Nice reference.
I want the record to show Derek came up with that one.
You come to me, you want Sweden to not win Eurovision. Now, this I cannot do.
All of a sudden, I really want a cannoli.
It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again one of these days. Europe can't hate them forever.
Yeah. I mean, I think they need to. Actually, we'll get to Sweden in a little bit.
We'll
talk about that. But speaking about talking about things in a little bit, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Hey, you can find us on social media at 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you are listening to us on a podcast purveyor that allows you to subscribe or like or give reviews or stars or any of that good stuff, hit us up. We would love to hear your reviews. If you rate us highly, it helps other folks find us. Just spread the word, share the love. We are so excited. Our next episode, not this one, next episode will be episode 100. Holy crap, episode 100, you guys. We have collected some incredible questions from our friends and our listeners and our friendly listeners and our unfriendly listeners. And we are so excited to bring those all together and squish them up into a ball and throw them all back to you. But we will be recording that, like I said, our next episode. For now, you're stuck with crappy episode 99. But yeah, yay!
All right. Well, what's up first in this crappy episode?
The next big thing on our immediate horizon would probably be Junior Eurovision, which is coming up in December. We've mentioned a couple of things that are going on with that before, but we actually had a fair amount of news since our last episode. Uh-huh. We have an announcement that we have our group for North Macedonia. Mm-hmm. It is a selection of cast members from the children's show Dajte Muzika. The song and more specifics are going to be
musical.
And we're like middle school musical, really, at the age of eight.
Yeah.
But we're going to get more specifics on that a little bit later on. Technically speaking, the show has a cast of more than six people, so we're not quite sure who's going to get cut, not quite sure who's going, who's not. We'll get more details on that later. But it's at the very
like
least...
I imagine it's like the Mickey Mouse Club of the early 90s. And they're going to cut JT.
Oh.
Well, if so, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about Yeti or whatever they're going to call him in English.
Yeti.
We also have our selection for Ireland has been made. It's Mayu Levy-Lawler, a male singer, which we don't normally see for Ireland. I think this is only the second male singer that Ireland has sent. He was selected in a national final, but it was just him. We do not have his song quite yet. I think they're going to make something for him. Mm-hmm. It's already been recorded. We'll be hearing that soon enough, I'm sure. In other national final news, Malta has selected a male-female duet, Ike and Kaya, with the song My Home. They were recently on Malta's Got Talent and made it all the way to the finals, so well-known within the Maltese music scene.
Is this just the Husavik sort of a thing, then? I wonder.
Oh, dear.
I literally was just like, oh, and then Malta is sending two people named Kaya and Ike, like... That's just what Eurovision has done to me. No, it's just Ike. It's Ike and Kaya.
Ike and Kaya. They speak English there.
On the topic of names you just said, Sam, Mayu is the first name of the Irish singer. Is that an Irish name?
I've never seen it before.
It honestly could be Celtic as hell.
Could be Hawaiian too.
It's M-A-I-U with an accent mark. My knowledge of traditional Irish names is scant at best, but I've never seen that name before. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's interesting that we now have a second Levi or Levy.
A quick look on Google seems to suggest that there is an Irish Gaelic source to it.
Okay.
I think. Honestly, if you just Google Mayu, most of the... results on the first page are about this kid. So it's a cool name, and it's apparently a fairly unique name, since all he had to do is make it to Junior Eurovision to be the most famous Mayu that there is. But yeah, quite possibly, as Danny said, Celtic as hell. Like Larry Bird.
Niche references. Anyway, speaking of other Levi's at Junior Eurovision this year, Spain, their singer Levi Diaz, or Levi Diaz, has released his song called Reir, which means to laugh. It's out there. You can listen to it. I'm not going to be able to give that much in terms of reviews just from my end of my position with Junior Eurovision this year, but you guys can if you'd like, if you've heard it.
Yeah, Sam, I guess, apparently has to officially be the Switzerland of this podcast and remain extremely neutral as it pertains to Junior Eurovision.
Yep.
Opinions, which just means that we're going to have to be even more opinionated, I think is the way it's going to have to go.
Basically, what I could say is there's a song. There is a singer singing the song. It exists. There is music.
That's a little too playing favorites there, Sam. You might want to dial that back.
Yeah, I mean, what crap if there isn't actually music?
He is Maima. I don't know. I'm still figuring this out as we go. But anyway, his song Reir has been released. You can listen to it on your platform of choice. And in upcoming news, of course, we have many, many more countries that are still to decide or to announce their singer. But Ukraine is the one who's probably coming up the soonest as time of recording, with their national selection process going on this weekend. Finally, in Junior Eurovision news, we have some news on the stage. We know what it looks like. It is super Christmassy French.
Ooh.
It is really Christmassy and really French and really cool.
Very pretty.
I mean, there's the big stage, as you would expect, but it's flanked by two Parisian bridge-like structures that are also going to be the green room or green rooms, I think. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I think one side's going to be the bridge to the green room. The other side's going to be the bridge to sort of the arbiter's platform where...
From Halo?
Voiced by Keith David.
Yeah. Excellent. That's what we've been missing from this contest, honestly, is Keith David.
Anyway, it's just really very, very cool to see Junior really kind of taking shape once again. So,
Sam, what is the deadline for Junior Eurovision song submission? When can we expect to definitely have everything?
I mean, unlike the big contest, we don't really have like a fixed date that is in everybody's calendars. I'm not exactly sure what the deadline is for submission.
So could the kids figuratively wake up on the day of and say, I forgot to do my homework? And then they basically do the Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig on Weekend Update thing.
Oh, Garth and Kat.
Yeah.
They're just kind of making it up as they go along and sing the songs about the Eurovision. Like that.
So they can do that?
Not quite.
They have to have their songs in sometime.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Junior Eurovision has done some kind of loosey-goosey stuff in the past. Okay, so when Ireland first debuted at Junior Eurovision in 2015, they were trying to ramp up interest of the contest on their broadcaster. So instead of having their national final, which I think was a 4-week setup, and then a month or so to pass, and then Junior Eurovision itself, they ramped up interest by having weekly shows pre-recorded going on the 4 weeks directly leading up to the contest. We on the inside, because it had been pre-recorded, we knew who was going to the contest. We had all of her information. We had everything that we needed in order to get the proper marketing out, make sure all her, you know, all the singer's photos were in the right places and ready to go. But we were embargoed until TG4 actually, quote unquote, selected their singer. So it's not like at Eurovision where you have like this month and a half window of time when all of the marketing and all the branding and everything happens. It's a little bit more flexible. And I think that's sort of the benefit of having a smaller contest, smaller delegations. You have a little bit more of that flexibility. So we might not necessarily right now see a full roster, but it's very possible that in the EBU, they may already have the information on who was singing for, say, Armenia or the song for Azerbaijan that they haven't released to the public yet. It's a process.
It's a process. It's anarchy. Nothing makes good TV like anarchy with children.
And pyrotechnics. Don't forget the pyrotechnics.
That's why Fox aired Kid Nation in the early 2000s. Let's not forget.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Tune in for Eurovision, Junior Eurovision 2021, when it'll basically just be Kid Nation with music.
Sure.
Is that it for Junior Eurovision news?
I think so.
Just waiting for, at this point, we know pretty much everything about the states and the broadcaster. Are we just waiting mm-hmm. on all we're of the various constituent countries to release their
Yeah, we are. We're waiting on hosts as well.
Sure.
But we don't really have much information on Albania, Armenia. We have a singer for Azerbaijan, but not a song yet. Bulgaria, host nation France. Mm-hmm. Georgia will find out their singer in mid-November. We've got the German song. We've got the Irish singer, but not their song.
Oh, speaking of Georgia,
yes,
their process for this is gigantic. I've recently learned, like, they have done at least 6 shows so far, and they're not done.
But basically, Renina's huge. It is big deal.
Yeah, and in addition to that, each of the last couple of shows had 5 acts, and each act is just scored on a point scale of how good they were in various aspects. Maximum is 120 points. Apparently, show 5 and show 6, every act got 120 points. So I don't know how they're narrowing it down at this point. Maybe they just aren't. And it's going to be a really big final. I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing I read. According to whoever's judging this, they're all amazing. I don't know how they're going to decide.
Super group? 6-person super group?
Like One Direction, but with Georgian kids.
Hey, you know, Georgia.
Take 5 or take that. Yeah.
Anyway, we still have a lot more to find out about Junior. This Wikipedia page is really only about a third of the way full. So.
I see.
Yep. So stay tuned, folks. Yep. Anyway, we roll forward to 2022. As we said before, we did jinx it. The moment that we said, we're not going to know for a while. Yeah, it's Turin. We know.
The moment that we were recording saying that it was going to be Turin, ESC was releasing the tweet that it was Turin. Like, I'm positive that's how it happened.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, granted, I'm thrilled.
They did say that Bologna was number 2. And didn't we also say that?
Yeah, I mean, local reports. Yeah. I mean, local reports are saying it. Who knows how dubious those are. Supposedly, Bologna was a very close second place. But Rai, the Italian broadcaster, they just happened to have more resources on the ground in Turin. So it just made it a little bit easier. The logistics just kind of worked out in Turin's favor a little bit. But, I mean, I would have been happy with either. So, Eric, it looks like you did a little bit of research on the venue itself, the Pala Alpitor.
Yes, or Pala Olimpico, as it's sometimes called, because obviously it was used for the Olympics back in 2006, which was, I'm going to believe, 5 or 6 years ago. It is a very good venue for this sort of thing. It has hosted concerts before. Its biggest events generally are hockey. It had the finals of the Olympic hockey tournaments in 2006. It is the current host because I guess how it works is whatever venue does this has it for a certain number of years consecutively. The ATP Finals, which is a pretty high-end tennis thing.
Basically, the adenosine triphosphate. Man.
That's right.
Finally, they got it in Italy.
Synthesized ATP right here in Turin.
Wow.
It's one of the biggest tennis events that isn't one of the majors, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's held in this arena. It was held there this year. It will be held there every year until 2025 is how it's currently scheduled. So that's an ongoing thing. In addition, when they do have the tennis stuff there, they are able to expand the seating. It gets up to about 16,000-17,000, which is pretty good for a Eurovision, since I'm sure there will be floor seating that we can expect maybe something in that range. I'm not sure. It has held some pretty big FIBA, like basketball events, same thing. And of course, concerts. It's had Il Volo.
Ooh.
Imagine that. It's had Madonna. Know they're ready for that if that comes up. It's had Lana Del Rey, which is my favorite act to say in a Californian accent.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, they've had Lana Del Rey, the Pala Alpitor. So
nice.
Yeah, it seems like a very well suited venue. It is not super close to the center of the city, but it's fine.
It seems pretty well connected to local public transportation at the very least. It's not like 20 kilometers outside of town. It's not it's not in the heart of the city, but it's close enough that you can get to where you need to go. What is in the heart of the city, however, is Piazza San Carlo, which has been named as the site of the Euro Village, which is I'm just thrilled to see the Euro Village coming back because, of course, in Rotterdam, non-contest focused Mm-hmm. Locations were kind of put on a minimum for obvious reasons. But if you are in Turin and you can't get tickets for the show, the Eurovillage is the place for you. Eurovillage will often hold events and concerts, has a sort of a festival atmosphere throughout the week or so of the show, between people doing promotional events, a lot of food. It just kind of has this really cool vibe all its own. It's a little different in every city, but the Eurovillage is always a great time. And generally speaking, if you can't get a ticket for the show, they will normally show the actual concerts at the Eurovillage on big screens. It becomes sort of a secondary venue. So if you're trying to get to Turin, can't get tickets, keep your eye on the Eurovillage. You might be able to get in there.
I'm taking a look at these pictures of Piazza San Carlo, just like, you know, pull up your first round of Google Images. It looks gorgeous. And just being like a major city square, this looks like the perfect place to have the village.
Mm. I mean, the more I look at pictures of Turin, the more excited I am about going there.
It looks pretty incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Has anyone looked into other food, lodging, touristy stuff there?
Lodging, I'm going to wait a little bit just because that first week or so, there's always a rush. It's always, you know, this massive rush of people trying to get tickets, or not tickets, trying to get rooms. And it's always overpriced and people always cancel. So
yeah,
just, I'm going to chill. Mm-hmm. I like looking, but I'm just going to chill until I actually can get a room. In terms of other things to do in Turin, there is the Italian Film Museum, which is held in, you know, when you see pictures of Turin, you see that sort of dome, the Mole Antonelliana. That is actually also the site of the Italian Cinema Museum.
Hmm. Which is the Italian Cinnabon Museum?
Yes. You could smell it from across the city.
So what sort of stuff is there? Like, do they have the half from 8.5?
Is Turin where... I thought Rome was where Cinecittà is. Is that in Turin instead?
No, Cinecittà is in Rome. Okay. And that's actually a former venue for Eurovision. So that's sort of terrified hallowed ground, if you remember the 91 contest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
But other things that people are talking about in Turin, the largest and most extensive Egyptian history museum outside of Egypt is located in Turin.
Oh, I thought it was England because they've stolen everything.
I know.
I would have thought it was steel too.
I would have thought it was the Louvre because they have a whole they have a whole wing of it.
The French do steal a lot too. Let's not forget the French.
Well, evidently Italy's got their fair share as well, and
they're closer.
Yeah, just a hop, skip, and a jump. We'll just grab a mummy and throw him over there. I recently, when I first heard about Turin being considered, I kind of rewatched The Italian Job, which...
Oh, wow. Really? That's what we went to?
Does the museum have the job from The Italian Job?
Yep.
No, but it does have Seth Green.
No, oh, cool. God, no, not that version, the original. God, no. Fine. The one with Michael
Caine.
Michael Caine. Okay, yep, yes, Michael Caine, which... Yeah, anyway, so part of me kind of wants to explore Turin from that point of view, ideally in a Mini Cooper. But yeah, we have plenty of time to figure it out, but
well,
very exciting.
Mm-hmm. I looked into the Shroud.
Yes.
Did the Shroud look back?
No. Besides the Olympics, the one thing I knew Turin for, like growing up and even as like an adult, was the Shroud of Turin, which, if you don't know, I guess, is a
fraud.
Big, long... I will get to that.
We'll get to that, yeah.
It is a big, long cloth that supposedly Jesus was buried in, because you can kind of see like a body on it, so to speak. As Derek noted, it is probably not real, but it is interesting because it's just, there's all this history of people claiming it's real, other people, and when I say people, I mean like higher ups in like the Catholic Church and other places having very, very strong opinions on this thing. The science suggests it is not old enough to be this thing. But that being said, I thought, oh, cool, I'm going to Turin. I could just check this out and see it because it's an interesting historical thing, right? Well, here's what I found out. If you're thinking about going and seeing the Shroud of Turin while you're over for Eurovision, here's what you need to know. One, mm-hmm. You can't. It's
it's like, please, oh, please, can I please see the body of Pope Benedict? Like,
it's in the same vault that they keep those golden tablets that Joseph Smith used.
Mm. Wait, Benedict's still alive, though.
Yeah,
he's just sitting over there.
Right. I forgot.
Despite what he looks like, he is still alive.
You leave Popatine out of this.
Hey, we could bury him now. It's fine.
Yeah. So basically, the Shroud is in a cathedral in Turin. Mm-hmm. There is a spot where it is kept under wraps. It is basically never brought out.
Is a wrap. You mean there's a shroud for the Shroud of Turin?
It's in like a box, I think. Okay. But it's basically never brought out. It's technically owned by the Pope. And so it's no, for real. And it's up to him when it goes on display. I guess it's
Pope
possible
John blew his nose into
if
it.
If it feels like taking this thing out because there's going to be a lot of people visiting, I guess that's a possibility. But we straight up will not know until it happens. Like that, these things aren't really announced in advance or planned. It hasn't been put on display in about 6 years, and no reason to believe that it'll be. So here you can see the box that it's in. And it's in a cathedral there. There is a chapel called the Chapel of the Holy Shroud. It's not there. because...
Yes.
Yeah, basically it used to be there. And then in 1997, there was a mysterious fire. They still don't know what happened. And it burned down. The firefighters managed to... basically, the shroud was on display there in a more permanent manner behind bulletproof glass. Firefighters bashed that thing down to get the shroud out. But the chapel that it was in was basically gone. It has since been rebuilt. The shroud has not been brought back to it. So there is the shroud, and then there is the temple of the shroud, or the chapel of the shroud. They are different things. That thus concludes the story about how you can't see the Shroud of Turin.
I'm now like imagining a promotional video for Turin, like as they're like opening up the first semifinal and they're kind of setting the scene. I'm like imagining a heist movie, like an Italian Job remade with Måneskin on a heist to steal the shroud.
Ooh.
Who do I have to call to make this happen?
The Pope.
Guillermo.
Jan Ulla. There is also, for the record, a surprisingly long Wikipedia article titled, and I quote, "Fringe Theories About the Shroud of Turin."
Ooh.
It's wild. Mostly it's a lot of extremely convoluted explanations for why the shroud appears to be fake, even though it's real.
Did the shroud fake the moon landing?
Right. Yeah, stuff like that.
Shroud at Roswell?
That the carbon dating is unreliable because of this or that sort of thing. Anyway, if you want to go down a weird rabbit hole, check that out. It comes with my mild recommendation.
Ooh, cool. All right, so what have we got else for the 2022 show at large?
We have, as of this morning, as the day we're recording it, we got the official list of countries. It's official. We don't have to speculate anymore. We know who's in. We know who's out. 41 countries will be joining us in Turin. It is basically everybody who was in Rotterdam. Plus, we welcome the return of Armenia and the return of Montenegro.
Montenegro! Yeah! We got them! That's right.
We got Montenegro back.
Yes.
This is a bit of a surprise. I think we expected Armenia to be back.
Uh-huh.
But...
I would say if I had to do the coin flip between Montenegro returning and Hungary returning, I would have said Hungary every day. But Hungary is out, they're still doing a national finals of sorts. They're still doing a national song contest themselves, but they're just not sending them.
Yeah, they've released the new rules for, it's called Dal, is that right? Or Adal?
Adal, which just Adal means the song.
The song. The song. They've released rules for the song. And the rules for the song make no mention of Eurovision at all. Yeah, I mean, from a like economical standpoint, I think I agree with Danny. I would think maybe we would see Hungary again before we saw Montenegro again.
Yeah.
But from a social standpoint, I think as long as Orban is in power, we're not going to see Hungary again.
He's not going to.
He's not into it. It's too.
No, he's not.
It's too
like De Gaulle with the UN. So he's basically playing along. Is Hungary in the Eurozone?
I don't know if they're in the EU. I know they think they still use the forint, so I know they're not on the euro.
Oh,
but
that's right. Yeah,
I can't remember if they're actually in the EU or not.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, we have some information just coming to us as we are recording. But you know, honestly, by the time you're listening to us, it's already a couple days old news. So here's your fresh staleness. Direct from my phone.
Mm. All the fresh staleness.
You know what? Think of it like French toast. Pain perdu.
You'll be able to redigest it again.
Yep. It's like you got to use the best stale bread and then soak it in eggs and vanilla and it's tasty again. So allow us to reheat some news. We get word from the BBC that they will no longer be collaborating with BMG as their sort of liaison into finding a Eurovision act. Instead, they are switching gears and they will now be collaborating with Tap Music, a global music publishing and management company known for working with Dua Lipa, Lana Del Rey, Dermot Kennedy, and Ellie Goulding. Lana Del Rey. Now the Lana Del Rey show.
I, I do have to ask, does anyone out there know who Dermot Kennedy is? Two Americans. I know who the other three people are. I do not know who Dermot Kennedy is.
I get no idea. With Dermot Mulroney all the time.
Related to Eunice or possibly Jamie?
And Dylan McDermott.
That's right. Dylan McDermott and Jamie Kennedy had their genes spliced to create the perfect singer.
Well, evidently Dermot Kennedy is an Irish singer-songwriter, best known for his 2019 single Outnumbered.
Irish!
And 2020 single Giant, signed to Interscope in the U.S.
Well, I mean, that's like saying Lana Del Rey isn't exactly, you know, from Yorkshire. Well, anyway. This just means that, yeah, so the U.K. is going with internal selection this year.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be mentioning anything in this press release about a national final, so yeah, most likely internal. So it's just nice to hear the UK saying much of anything, because they tend to have a bit of radio silence.
Yeah, they tend to be just like sit there with their arms folded and just go, yeah, guess we'll do Eurovision, 0 points, wee wee. And then they do it anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, let's see something good. See something great. Always
I look forward
rooting for them, always pooping on them. I love them.
You know what? I my relationship with the UK and Eurovision is a lot like my relationship with you three. I give them crap, but it's only because I give a crap about them.
I was going to say, it's kind of feels
it
like
0 points.
It kind of feels like rooting for the Mets.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Okay, what do we got now? We have some Czech news, too. We must check ourselves before we wreck ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, no, too late. Ah!
Yeah. Czechia is potentially, if I'm reading this correctly, going to be releasing their song and artist before Albania?
They will be holding...
Albania is FICMAS, right?
Yeah, Albania is FICMAS. Yeah. We don't have the dates yet for FICMAS, but we do have word that the Czech Republic will be selecting their singer and song in an online national final, kind of like what they've been doing the last couple of years, in December. So it's very, very possible that they might beat Albania to the punch.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm kind of sad about that. I kind of like the sort of balance about having the first song alphabetically.
Oh, I
and the first song chronologically. Like I've always kind of liked that, but you know, I guess yeah. I'll you know, Albania in Albanian starts with an S. So what do I know?
Yeah. So the word is that
bird is
no,
the word.
No. Word is it's going to be a lot like they've done previously, or like they did when they picked Benny Cristo the first time for the contest that was canceled. Mm-hmm. Except it's going to be live performances now instead of music videos. So we'll actually have a feel for what the performance will be like.
That'll be great.
Which is good and seems to be a lesson learned from them, considering how 2021 went in terms of the live performance. 0 points from the public on that in that semifinal, which is a real bummer.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah, did okay with juries, but nothing from the public for poor Benny. I'm excited for that. There is also a mild rumor here that one of the people submitting for ESCZ, the national final, is the owner of the Czech Republic's best result in its history.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Which is the spaghetti haver himself,
yes.
Nicholas Josef.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly he may be trying to come back.
Do you think he's actually going to tell us what's in the backpack this time?
I think it was spaghetti.
Wasn't the backpack just covering up on, like a back brace?
By the end of that fortnight,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's all healed up. No ill effects from his tumble in Lisbon.
We're just gonna see. You know, he's gonna try to do a backflip again. It's just gonna
his leg will fall off.
Yeah, just a tendon right up the back just snips and he lands on the floor. Just,
oh, God.
It's gonna be great, and he'll finish it because the show's gotta go on. All right, Eric.
Yeah. Well, hang on. I was just gonna say I don't know how I feel about releasing this early. I mean, I always enjoy what the Czech Republic puts out, but there isn't a ton to support the idea of you know, if you're trying to win the contest, releasing a song, you know, 5 months before it matters.
Yeah. It can backfire. I mean, look at what happened in 2020 when Kimama ended up getting revamped. You had almost so much time staring at the song. It's like, well, you're trying to now polish something that didn't necessarily need a ton of polish, and then you overpolished, and then you try to bring it. Sometimes
and then it failed to qualify. That was really disappointing.
Well, I'm talking about Kimama, not even Oh My God.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, nothing qualified.
I don't know what happened. It came on.
It got as many points as any other song. So when you think about it, it tied for the win.
But
so that's enough about Eurovision winners, Czech Republic. Let's see what else we get.
You've got a couple of dumb rumors, Eric.
Well, here's the thing. Let's talk about this in the context of the news about Melfest, which I think is really weird. And Sam, I think you understand this better than I do, but basically they're getting rid of Anders Johnson and replacing it with Anders Johnson.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. tell me what this means.
All right,
Anders Johnson, that's just the second chance, you know?
Yeah. So
what are they doing?
All right. So previously, artists and record labels and frankly fans and viewers were ticked off that in Anders Johnson, you often had songs going head to head with one song qualifying after each individual duel, that you had four songs go up. I mean, you had eight songs go up and four songs proceed. And it was through a series of head to head duels where it's just one versus one, and it felt very inorganic. You had producer-led basically deciding who's matched up against who, and it turned out really kind of messy. I mean, when you have a 1v1 kind of a thing, you're not necessarily voting for something. You could also vote against something else, and I think people are also still miffed that with this system, Loreen's statements didn't qualify from its heat in Anders Johnson. A whole bunch of things. Anyway, they have decided to scrap Anders Johnson and replace it with what they're calling Semi-Final 5, which instead of having acts that came in third or fourth in each of the semifinals 1 through 4, they're basically putting those 8 songs into 2 pots instead of 4 head-to-heads. It's now 2 big pots of 4. Ugh, okay. And then 2 coming in from that. So 2 coming out of each pot. So you'll still have the same number of songs. To me, it's almost exactly the same result. You're just calling it Semi-Final 5 instead of a second chance round or a repechage or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It's rebranding, but it's a similar yet improved final result.
Like the new Facebook.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect.
Give it a new name. Awesome. We're good.
Yeah.
Slap a new label on it.
I understand that there's a difference, but God, that just seems like basically the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
So on the topic of Melfest, you know, they've announced some of these details. And of course, with the details come rumors. And of course, with the rumors comes dumb rumors.
Come dumb rumors. Yes, thank you.
It's good. Time for the dumb rumor of the week, because it's about Melfest.
We should have a little sting. We should have a little
dumb rumor of the week.
We had it for Maroon Watch. All right, Eric, what do you got?
Well, obviously, Sweden has struggled the last few times out, particularly with the public vote, because it just seems like they've kind of been criticized for doing the same thing over and over again. And it really seems like they need to have some sort of a shakeup to really bring about, you know, another real contender for the top from Sweden. So, obviously, they need to send something new and exciting. So as you can imagine, the big rumor of the first name really tied to Melfest 2022 is, let me just double check, Robin Banks. Oh, crap.
Hey.
For real?
For real.
Freaking, I feel like every single person who is even tangentially related to Eurovision through Sweden has been rumored this year.
Was he at...
Fine. I'm going to bring back Robbie Bengtsson.
Did he
try Yikes.
To go in 2020 or 21?
I have
2020,
to look.
I think.
I remember
he has definitely tried since he was there with a song that wasn't that great.
Nice. Bring back Benjamin Ingrosso before him.
the song Take a Chance. So he finished in 8th place in the final, but he made it to the final.
Take a Chance.
Yeah, Aftonbladet, which is a Swedish newspaper, is reporting that he is... He has a song, and the quote is, "It is a strong pop song that suits him perfectly."
They're going to say, he's got a song, and he's not afraid to use it.
Yeah. This time he'll be on an elliptical.
Yeah. Oh, man. On a Peloton.
Yeah.
I can afford that.
That is an incredibly dumb rumor, because literally all that they had to say was, Melfest and this other popular Swedish pop singer. Like, sure, fine. Whatever. It could happen. Mm-hmm. Great. Where's the meat to this rumor? What are the implications? The implications we'd have to deal with Robbie Bengtsson again. Okay.
Well, yeah, the implications are they just don't seem to learn. they know what they like. They have had success with it. It's just that it seems like
had success with it. But right. Europe doesn't want it.
Right. But like, I guess what I'm saying is, if there was ever a time to do something a little more radical, it's right now for them. And Robin Bengtsson is not going to
Yeah, but you have to remember, this is still a TV show, and people will tune in for Robin Bengtsson. So you this is just the first couple of names that we're hearing. I mean, for all they know, the songs, the singers that they're going to end up picking when they do make the official announcement will be a blend of well-known pop singers like you know, Robin Bengtsson or, you know, an Ingrosso or two.
Yeah.
And they may have, you know, there's so many of them. They're like Kardashians over
there. It's tough to reprimand Sweden over what they're sending to Eurovision when they're just the people who win Melfest. And it's like, Melfest is so Sweden's own thing, you know, it's second only to San Remo. Like, it's tough yelling at them for it, because it's like, what can you do? But at the same time, I'm sure they can do something.
Biggest difference this year for them, maybe, is that there's not going to be any Christer Björkman presence at all.
Oh, that's right.
Because he's focusing on the American Song Contest. So, so
we got
I don't know what that means for how it plays out. Maybe nothing, but that's, it's going to be different in that way, in whatever, and whatever that ends up meaning.
We shall see.
But anyway, Robin Bengtsson, you look like you're made of body spray, and I don't know, maybe...
That was a dumb rumor. Good job, Eric.
Thanks. Well, here's the thing. I got another new feature that's also cool, and it's the great rumor of the week.
Okay. Ooh.
This is a rumor that's maybe dumb, maybe not, doesn't matter. It's great.
Is it the Cardigans coming to Melfest?
Oh, see, that would be a great rumor.
I would love that.
Yeah, I know. That would be a great rumor.
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Waiting for Romeo and Juliet 2.
Yeah. Romeo plus Juliet equals 2.
Yeah. If that's what they're waiting on, I have bad news.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you can talk about. Actually, you know, a story that kind of goes over the fallout from that could be kind of interesting.
No.
Oh, okay. Moving on. The great rumor of the week is, I think, an amazing idea. And that is, forget this Mika crap. You know who should really be hosting and has endorsed the idea of being a host for Turin?
Ooh, Pope Francis.
That'd be wild.
Wouldn't that be great if we just like booted it? We opened up Peacock on our streaming services, and we got Eurovision next year, and it's just Pope Francis there with a microphone.
You know what? A bunch of hunky Swiss guards gyrating around him. I would pay good money to see that.
It'd be nice to see Pope Francis just turn, speaking in his perfect Argentinian Spanish, and ask Jan Ulla, do we have the points?
It's not Jan Ulla anymore, Danny.
It is. I know it's a different person, but it's still Jan Ulla.
I use Jan Ulla like 007, you know? It's more of a title than anything.
And this is how we could tell that you are a new relative convert to Eurovision. For me, it will still always be Svante Stoxelius.
I see.
The Swedish teddy bear. Anyway.
That's a great rumor.
Yes.
Ooh. Well, this particular person is perhaps more associated with San Marino than Italy.
Serhat.
But the you know, I was gonna say Sunit, because Sunit,
it's Sunit got adrenaline. She's gonna host.
Yeah, it's so funny to me, by the way, that Flo Rida always pronounced it Sunit, and was never.
No corrected. One told him.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, there's been a bit of a push online among fans and things like that to have Sunit be a part of this, and Sunit herself has weighed in and been like, I think that's a great idea. You should definitely have me do that.
Yeah,
and
she could walk to the venue.
Yeah. but Danny, as long as you mentioned it, you might as well get Serhat in there
The Pope? Why not? Serhat. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for the evening, Sunit, and Pope Francis. and the Pope comes out in you know, Pope stuff.
I was going to say they switch costumes.
Pope could wear Sunit's opening from last year.
Yeah, I was about to say that's right. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that'd be great. And then, you know, Iceland sends Hatri again, and they're just sort of standing next to all this and wondering like,
what?
Just a stand.
Oh God,
I'd love it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I think that's about it then. That's about it. It was a lot of JESC and regular ESC news to kind of go over for this one. Yeah. Do we have any stuff left over though?
Couple of things not related to upcoming contests.
Yeah, we have one thing related to
a past contest.
Yeah.
Which is that there was a Eurovision again.
Again.
We went to Baku, Sam's favorite place to visit, to relive the 2012 contest, which was a fun contest.
It really was. Like, I sometimes I forget just how good musically 2012 really, really was. You know, there's a great variety of songs, good quality, linguistic diversity. And you ended up with a song that has become such an evergreen at Eurovision. Like, roll your eyes or not at the
truly
at the
end.
Yeah, I mean, it's euphoria. How could you not? Even if you get sick of it winning the top 200 countdown every single New Year's Eve.
Like Derek.
But it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still so good. Yeah, it's been almost a decade. It's still brilliant. Good.
And it won the revote because, I mean, there was no way it wasn't going to.
Yeah.
But a couple of my favorites from this year are still...
I was gonna say, what's the closest stuff behind Loreen?
I believe second place was Spain, Quédate Conmigo, if I'm not mistaken.
Which is Spain's best actual finish in forever as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But a couple of my favorites from this year, which did very poorly in the final and did very poorly at Eurovision again as well, which was frustrating to see. Sound of Our Hearts from Hungary, which I love, and Should Have Known Better by Selena Sameh, which is brilliant and gorgeous, and it did nothing. At the on the day, and it didn't do very well in the revote either. Mm-hmm. And on social media, people were like, "Oh man, this one was really really good," and then they still didn't vote for it. I don't know what the problem is with that one. But.
I think it's just it's sweet, it's subtle, it's wistful, and it may be everybody's 11th favorite.
I mean,
it's too exciting either.
I guess, but I mean, I think about like a song like Sebi in 2019. That was subdued and sweet,
very chill. Oh,
there was something magic about Sebi though.
But that finished very very well. It was top 10, I think. Wasn't it?
I think so.
It was.
I don't think
somewhere
so.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it might have been just underneath the Czech boys. Hmm.
7 points.
Oh man.
Anyway, Eric, you have a thing to plug, don't you?
I do have a thing to plug. I have an article up on ESC Insight. If you like hearing me talk, you might like reading a thing I wrote, which is like me talking, except I'm not talking. Anyway, on ESC Insight, they're doing a series that's like, we should send the following acts to Eurovision. I wrote a piece on an artist I really, really like. Her name is Stephanie Heinzmann. She's a pop singer from Switzerland and is really, really popular in the German-speaking part of Europe. So like there in Germany and Austria. And she's fantastic. TV veteran, competition veteran, would be very well suited to this. Got her breakthrough televised competition run by Stefan Raab, who is another Eurovision alum. So there are connections there, and she's got the talent and the out loud personality, great interview, great songs, great stage presence, these sorts of things that you want from a Eurovision act. I think she would fit the bill very well, and so I tried to make that case on the article on Insight. So check that out, escinsight.com/ I don't know, something. And check that out. And then I think Sam, did you have one of these as well? Or do you have one coming up?
I had one a couple weeks back, actually. I plugged an act from Greenland that I've been in love with for probably about a decade now.
It's an elk.
Yep. Just electronica just going. No, it's a band called Nanook that they sing exclusively in Greenlandic, which is a language that I know basically nothing about. But it is just beautiful and evocative and still very, very accessible at the same time. But it's there's something so magical about listening to a song in a language that you don't understand, but you still can feel the place of the song. It's almost like, and again, this is, you're going to laugh at me because I'm going to use a wine metaphor here, but it's like when you drink a wine and you can taste the terroir and you can taste like the soil and like the minerality of it. I know, and you hate me so much for this, but it's a thing.
When you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you can taste the sugar.
Yeah, exactly. But you, there's a sense of place in the song. Like, you can tell this is Greenland just by listening to this and just this beautiful vibe to it. I'm like, you know what? Denmark, take the risk. Send something that is enjoyable and accessible, but shows a different side of the culture that we don't normally see. If people forget that Greenland, while it's massive, is technically a part of the Danish kingdom. So Denmark, take a risk. Send Nanook. Go Greenland.
I mean, that's advice you could give to half the countries that are competing this year.
Take a risk. Send Nanook.
Send anybody, but as a risky vote. I mean, why not? How much worse could you do?
True. True, true. Anyway, one tiny little thing that I kind of just wanted to say on like a personal side, I guess. Speaking of seeing sides of a country and a culture that you don't normally do, but you kind of delve into and you fall in love with. I just purchased a cookbook by an acquaintance of mine who I know through Eurovision circles, who actually was part of the Scottish delegation, believe it, there was a Scottish delegation, at the Eurovision choir competition. His name is Cognac MacLeod, and he came out with this wonderful, wonderful cookbook and story compendium called The Hebridean Baker, Recipes and Wee Stories from the Scottish Islands. And it is just full of comforting recipes for dishes with ingredients from the Northern Hebridean Islands. So he's from Island of Lewis, which is one of the larger, more windswept islands out there.
Where the chessmen are from.
Yes, exactly. It's an easily accessible cookbook full of lovely, lovely recipes as we're getting into colder weather. I have not been paid to say this, for the record. I'm saying this out of the goodness of my own heart. The Hebridean Baker by Cognac MacLeod. I'll probably put a link to this on our Twitter.
Are you saying cognac?
It's C-O-I-N-N-E-A-C-H. So cognac. It's the Scottish version of Kenneth, basically.
Ah. I'd say it's the Scottish version of Connor. Like Connor MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod. One of the men from the Highlands, or a Highlander, as it were.
Well, I only have one copy of the book, is what you're asking. Yes. There can be only one. So I might let you borrow it. Or you could just buy your own copy. And again, I haven't been paid to say this, but, you know, I just figured I'd plug it. Because any time that we can lift up a member of our Eurovision community, I highly recommend it. He's also got a great TikTok feed as well. So, that's it for me, guys. Anything else from y'all?
Oh, no.
Shall we just call it a night and just gear ourselves and gird our loins for our upcoming 100th episode?
I was going to say, I'd better not say anything because I'm probably going to have a lot to say during episode 100 because I've already had it teased that I'm going to be terrified and shocked and just inundated with hot, steamy dumpster fire garbage from you guys. So,
yeah.
Yeah, my loins are girded as well.
Good luck.
Be so freaking girded.
Extreme girding. All right. Yeah, that's it. All right. Sam, send us out.
All right. Well, we will catch you in probably a fortnight or so with episode 100. Oh my God.
100.
Ah! But between now and then, hit us up on social media. Again, that's 12pointsUSA on Facebook or Twitter. 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to reach out to us directly. We will catch you in our next episode. But until then, I have been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
In America, stop listening now.
For now.
For now.
For now.
Everybody's trying to get me fired. That's how this is. This is the running theme. Rob, Dave, I know you're listening. This is not my fault.